Now let's turn to the Word of God and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you've got your Bible with you or on your phone or whatever. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read the whole chapter, 1 to 16, 1 to 15. Let's hear God's Word. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help. And I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And may God add his blessing to his word today. So we're continuing our series in 2 Corinthians, Real Church. After today, we'll take a break for a couple of weeks, but we're today looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We saw last week that Paul has this great project. He's collecting money. He's going around the churches. He's collecting money for the church in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was going through a famine, going through a difficult time. And here he encourages the Corinthian church to excel in the grace of giving, just as the Macedonian church is way to the north of Greece, that the Macedonians had excelled in this grace of giving. He's sending them Titus back to Achaia, back to the Corinthian church, and a couple of other brothers from Macedonia to encourage them to get the collection finalized. They've started well. Or to continue, and then hopefully, as he says in verse 5, I'm looking forward to receiving a generous gift, not one grudgingly given. In verse 6, he perhaps quotes a well-known saying or parable, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he or she has decided in his heart to give. We said last week that one of the main reasons for writing 2 Corinthians was to encourage the church to give to others. And we shouldn't be surprised whenever the Bible teaches on very earthy practical matters such as our money and our giving. Yes, our giving and what we do with our money is a very private matter. But as with other private matters, it has an enormous influence in the public sphere. Someone has worked out, who obviously had more time in their hands than I have, that 2,300 verses in the Bible mention wealth, money, or possessions. Whenever you look at the parables that Jesus told, you discover that a third of the parables mentions money, wealth, or possessions. And of course, in Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus says, "You cannot serve both God and money." You see, Jesus knew very well that how we deal with our money reveals the state of our heart and the things that we most treasure. John Piper says, "What our hands do with our money shows what our hearts are doing with God." And Paul here continues to give some very practical teaching. Whenever we look at 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9, and also some of the things that he said in 1 Corinthians, we see that he has a lot of practical advice on giving, especially giving to God and giving to others through the local church. We can, of course, give to charities, to missions, missionaries, parachurch ministries, and so on, but the emphasis of the Bible is very much that you give through the local fellowship of which you're a member. So when it comes to giving, according to Paul and the Bible as a whole, there are five general principles of biblically giving, of giving in a way which honors God and honors the teaching of the Bible. I just want to leave these five with you this morning. First of all, we are to give in secret or secretly. Jesus in Matthew 6 again says, "When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret." God sees our giving. He will reward us, and that should be enough. We're not to draw attention to our giving. As we give to others, we're not to parade that. Some of us know that in times past, it was the common practice in the Presbyterian Church that at the end of the year, they would give out the annual report, and you would see your freewill offering number, you would see your name and address, and how much you had given through the church. Now, that's not secret giving, and so I'm glad that most churches now have stopped that practice, because it's not helpful, and it's not biblical. Paul knew what the church in Macedonia had given as a whole, but he didn't know what each individual person or family had given. Don't trumpet your giving. Don't parade what you are giving to the church or to others. It should be done in secret so that you're not giving for wrong motivations. And then secondly, in biblical giving, it is something that we are to do in a planned way. Paul here makes a great deal about letting the Corinthians know, "Look, I'm coming to you. I want you to finish this collection. I want to make a plan to systematically and regularly give so that when I come, you'll not be embarrassed, that you'll be able to give and be ready to give, and it'll not be grudgingly given." It's planned giving. Life is much more complicated today than it was in Paul's day, and we know that we need to give in a planned way as we live our lives. So each of us knows that we will have monthly, maybe even weekly bills that we have to pay. You know, you have your electricity bill, your gas or your oil bill. You'll have utilities bills. You might have a bill for BT or whatever. All these essentials that you'll have. You'll have your food bill. You'll have a mortgage maybe to pay. All these things are our monthly commitments that you plan to give. Life is complicated. If you suddenly stopped paying those bills, well, you would soon be in trouble. And if our giving is planned in terms of life in general, surely whenever God, we're saying, is a major part of our lives, then our giving to the Lord and to others needs to be planned. And so often we can be diligent about, you know, those essential subscriptions that we have to make to Netflix and Spotify and Amazon Prime Video. But the Lord and His work, is it planned giving? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, and it's on our little freewill offering envelopes, this verse, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. So there is a system of giving. It's planned giving. It's regular. Now, of course, many of us are receiving our income perhaps on a monthly basis. And so as we receive our income monthly, so we should plan to give to others and give to the Lord's work in a monthly way. Paul says, as you meet as a fellowship on the first day of the week, the Lord's day, on the Sunday, you set aside a sum of money. You do this regularly. And it's important that we do this regularly, that we do it, well, the same way we do the rest of life. We give it systematically and in a planned way. And that certainly helps the cash flow, if you want to put it that way, in terms of the expenses and the things that we have to give to. You know, sometimes missionaries might contact us and say, you know, things are getting a bit tight. You know, and we say, okay, let us give you some money from our allocation towards mission. Or 2 weeks ago, the lift at the other end of the church broke down. It had to be fixed, and lifts are expensive things to maintain. A couple of months ago, we had a leak in the roof in the church. We had to get that sorted. And it's good when you've got money available that you can immediately say, yes, here it is. Let's settle that debt. Let's give. I mean, this last 2 years have been very, very difficult for so many people, difficult for businesses, difficult also for churches. One of the great things in Highkirk has been that a lot of people give through standing order. So even though for a while, whenever the church was closed down, we weren't able to gather, we weren't able to give our envelopes in or whatever, so many folk were giving through standing order, and folks changed their giving so that it could be done through standing order. That was a real help. You have no idea how helpful that was in terms of getting us through the last 2 years. So again, can I encourage you, if you can do it, that if you can transfer giving through standing order, it really just helps us to plan our giving, to plan how we will help mission in 2022 when we see that systematic, planned, regular giving. Don't wait until the end of the year. No, give in a planned way right from January. As the Lord prospers you, so we should give. Think about it. Think about your giving. Think about what you're going to give to, you know, free will offering. Think about what you're going to give to mission. Think about what you're going to give to property, because sometimes we've got reserve funds. In other words, the mission fund, when people give to mission, we can't use that for other things and vice versa. So think through the proportion that you're giving and what way you're going to give it. That's helpful to do. In an average year in Highkirk, we receive and we give something in the region of £560,000 in all our ministry departments. It's a big sum of money. Last week I said we would love to increase our giving away of that £90,000, get it up to £100,000, giving to mission and our missionaries. We'd love to just increase that. Last week I said 30% of our congregation give to mission, just 30% through the mission envelopes. If we could start to increase that, we would see an increase of giving to others, giving to mission, giving to the mission partners that, to be honest, are really struggling for money. The same problem this past 2 years. Mission agencies have seen their income decreasing. £30,000 we want to raise each year to give to United Appeal, to the wider work of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland and overseas. We want to be a giving church. So as we receive, we should plan to give. So we give secretly. We give in a planned, systematic, regular way. And then thirdly, we are to give proportionately. Paul says, again in 1 Corinthians 16, you must give in keeping with your income. And in 2 Corinthians 8 and 11, he says, give according to your means. Our giving is proportionate to what we receive. We cannot give what we have not got. Highkirk is a broad church, a wide variety of folk here. Some people are unemployed. Some people are on allowances and benefits. Their income will obviously be completely different from someone who is fully employed. Some homes will have one person in paid work. Some will have two people in paid work. So again, the income levels in a home are going to vary greatly. Some people are earning £100 a week. Some are earning £500 a week. Some are earning £1,000 a week. Some of the congregation are widowed or retired or at college. The principle is not that you have a set amount. The church is not coming and asking you, you have a set amount of membership. No, you give proportionately to your circumstances, depending on how the Lord has prospered or otherwise. You know your income. I don't. I know my income. I know I am to give proportionately. So we give secretly. We give in a planned, regular, systematic way. That is so helpful. We give proportionately to what the Lord has prospered us with, and that will be different for each person and each family. And then fourthly, we are to give cheerfully. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, each should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, one of the Greek words for cheerful is hilaron, from which we get our English word hilarious. So whenever you're giving today, if you are giving, give hilariously. Smile. It's a joy to give. Give cheerfully, Paul says. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. We don't want grumpy givers. God says your attitude in your giving is as important as the amount. The attitude is as important as the amount. Are you giving cheerfully, voluntarily, not reluctantly? And so as Paul writes to the church in Corinth, the churches in Achaia, he says, I want you to give cheerfully. The Macedonians have excelled in the grace of giving. They have given cheerfully. Will you give cheerfully? God has given so much to us, and so we give back to him. How wonderful it is to be givers, not grumbling or grouching, but giving cheerfully. And then fifthly, Paul says we should give sacrificially. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul says, out of the most severe trial and the extreme poverty of the Macedonian church, it welled up in rich generosity. I testify, they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. It was costly giving. It hurt them, but they gave joyfully and cheerfully. So yes, we give proportionately, but it is good to give sacrificially. Does it cost us? Does it hurt us? Second Corinthians 9 and 6, Paul reminds them of the great harvest principle. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's all about sowing. Sowing for the kingdom of God, sowing into other people's lives, sowing into ministries, sowing for the good of God, sowing for church extension. Does it cost us? David says in 2 Samuel 24, I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God offerings that cost me nothing. In the Old Testament, it was laid down that people should give, especially when it came to the sacrifice. They were to give the best. They were to give the first fruits. Whenever they brought a lamb or a goat or whatever, they checked it over for defects. They wanted to give the Lord the best, the first fruits, the best crops, the best grain. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Because our giving tells us about our hearts. Our giving is a heart monitor. Billy Graham once said, show me a person's bank account, and I will show you what is important to them. If I show you my bank account, you will see what's important to me. It may be appropriate to mention the issue of tithing at this point. The tithe, or 10%, was a working guideline for the people of the Old Testament as they gave their first fruits to the Lord and to the temple. A lot of the first fruits and the crops and so on went to the Levites, the priestly tribe, because they had no land. The Lord was their inheritance. So they had no possessions, they had no land. And so what was to happen was that the other 11 tribes were to bring their first fruits, their 10%, into the central storehouse for the priests and for the sacrifice to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord's people would hold back on their tithe. And the Lord, through his prophets, would rebuke them, as in Malachi chapter 3. You're not bringing it into the storehouse. Things will not go well for you. Or sometimes people would tithe meticulously, but ignore other weighty matters of the law, like showing justice and compassion and mercy. In Matthew 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices." You write down to, you know, the spice rack. You give a tenth of each. Your mint, your dill, your cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You have practiced the latter without neglecting. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So there was an expectation from Jesus that they would still tithe, but they wouldn't ignore the larger matters of law and justice and mercy. But apart from that, there is no specific command in the New Testament for God's people to tithe. However, the impression I get is that it is still a good baseline, a good guideline for us. If in the Old Testament they were giving at least a tenth, and they knew very little about, they knew something of the Messiah, they didn't know about Jesus coming. We live post-resurrection. We have seen the benefits of Jesus. He has given us the Holy Spirit. How much more should we give than the people of the Old Testament? In 2012, the General Assembly of our church passed this resolution on planned giving. It says, "The General Assembly, while bearing in mind that circumstances vary widely, encourage Presbyterians in the exercise of their joyful freedom and responsibilities to consider setting aside in the region of at least 10% of their income after tax as a target for their Christian generosity." I know there are some Christians who decide to give at least 10% of their income pre-tax, their gross income rather than their net income. This is what the General Assembly of our church is encouraging. And as we give our tithe, it can go in a number of directions: to the local church, to supporting missionaries, to the poor. But the emphasis is very much that the primary giving should be through the local storehouse, the local church, the local fellowship, the one that we are committed to and are members of. So here are five things, if going into 2022 we want to give in a biblical way. It should be secret, planned, proportionate, cheerful, and sacrificial. You've often heard me talk about balanced biblical Christianity, and today we have emphasized the giving of money. But there are other ways in which we can give. In fact, the three main ways, and there are three T's for memorability, are through our tithe that we have looked at, through our time, and through our talent. And if we want to be faithful biblical disciples of Christ, I think we should be aiming to hit each of these three in a balanced way. So we are giving our tithe. We are giving sacrificially, proportionately, systematically, etc., etc. But are we also giving of our time so that, you know, tomorrow at some stage we will set aside a little bit of time to meet with the Lord, to read His Word, to pray? How are we doing on that daily, giving time to the Lord, making that sacrifice? I know our lives are busy. But how are we doing in that daily quiet time, that daily quality time with our Lord? What about our time? What about our time in giving to service and serving others? Serving others in the community, serving others in the church? Are we giving time sowing into the lives of others? What about our talent, our spiritual gift? Are we using our gift in service? Are we giving to God and to His family? Are we involved in ministry? This is part of our sowing, part of our sacrificial giving. Are we sowing into the hearts and lives of others? Sowing in the worship ministry, sowing in the pastoral ministry, sowing into the lives of those struggling to make ends meet as we bring groceries. It's so good to see folks bringing those groceries in week by week, Sunday by Sunday, leaving them at Bob's store for distribution later in the week. Are we sowing into the lives of our young people as we serve in Highkirk Kids, in GB, in BB, in the movement? There are so many opportunities to sow with our talent. There will not be a financial reward, but the reward of blessing people's lives and expanding the influence of the kingdom of God. In verse 11, in fact, Paul says that as we give and sow generously, God will give back to us, but so that we can sow even more generously. God will increase our harvest of joy. Scott Haffman says, as believers, our confidence in God for the future makes it possible for us to give to others in the present. You see, whenever we give, yes, we do, because of what God has done for us in the past on the cross, we give because God has been faithful. God has given us so much in the past. But as we give, we also have faith for the future. We say to ourselves, well, I'm giving this. That means I'm going to have less to live on. Will God sustain me? Will God get me through this week? Will God get me through this month? Will He get me through this year? God is faithful. And Paul says that as we give, and especially when we give, it is an act of trust in God for the future. The world does not trust God, but Christians do. And that makes all the difference. As we give in faith, as we excel in the grace of giving through faith, we trust our Heavenly Father. The ground of our giving is God's continuing abundant grace, revealed in the past, but also revealed in the future. As our hearts are touched by the knowledge that God has given us so much, our hearts are soft, our hands are open, and we give. A real church, a real Christian, is a giving church and a giving disciple. Shall we pray? And just as we wait in the Lord's presence, we ask the Holy Spirit to minister His word to us. And to my own heart and to each of us, as we consider our giving into 2022, may it be secret and planned, cheerful giving, sacrificial giving, proportionate giving. May we excel as the Macedonians and the Corinthians did. May we excel in the grace of giving, sowing into the lives of others, sowing into the mission of the church worldwide, sowing into people's lives who are poor and needy. Father, forgive us if we have withheld from You. Help us to excel in the grace of giving, just as Christ gave all for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.